The errors or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ.
It's great to be here in a nice spring weather environment.
I know. We should take a field trip. We should go outside.
I'm thinking I'm taking the drone down to fly around the cherry blossoms. Don't you think it's time for a cherry blossom flight?
I think you might get yourself in some serious trouble down there today. Today's the day of the parade. And you're going to go down there and fly a drone around in the middle of a parade?
I'm thinking what I'm going to do is fly the drone around the basin at the cherry blossoms, then fly it through the Jefferson Memorial. Do you think?
It's been nice knowing you. That's what I have to say.
Okay, well, I think
you better rethink that.
I'll take that under advisement.
What is your PhD in?
all PhDs are in the same thing. Pilot high and deep.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, I have my new iPhone.
You do?
My iPhone 5S. Of course, 2 weeks ago, I dropped my iPhone on the sidewalk and crushed the screen. And so I was deciding, should I, because the 4S was good enough for me. I was happy with it, even though I was sitting on the 3G network and wasn't on the fastest network in town.
Sure.
But then I broke it, and so then I could get the screen repaired for maybe $100 or $110. So I took it into Apple to swap it. I'm with Verizon, but then you go to Apple, they got all the Verizon plans there. So I bought a new phone with Apple, and instead of giving me $175 for buyback, I got $50 for buyback because my screen was broken. So I lost $125. So I could have gotten it fixed for $110 and then gotten $175 and made a cool $15. And I just decided it wasn't worth the hassle. So I just turned it in and I got it.
Cool. That's
so
good.
So now I've got the 5C, which is very nice. And it's unlocked right out of the box. I said, I want to unlock it so I can put in a SIM card when I travel. They said, well, it's not 5S. I have the 5S.
Right. Of course.
Well,
you have to have the 5S.
For shirts.
This could be a long hour.
It could be a long hour. So I got the 5S, and it's unlocked. And so when I travel to Dindy, I can just pop out the SIM card. Now, the only problem is it's got a different SIM card. The 4S had a micro SIM. And the 5S has a nano SIM, which is even smaller. So I'm going to have to even get a new SIM card and everything. And I have this attachment that I got as a gift this last year, and it only fits on the iPhone 5. It is an alcohol tester.
What?
And you plug it into your phone like this, and it lights up. And so you can, it's now lighting up. And you blow into this little hole. And it hooks right to your iPhone.
How much did that cost you?
I don't know. Marianne got it on Groupon. It was like a Groupon purchase. I have no idea what it cost.
Why do you need this? Or do you need this?
No. I don't really need it, but we thought, we have people over, Stratford people over. We might have a party or something. It's just.
Are you going to check people at the door now?
I'm going to let people check themselves.
I think you ought to check people coming into the studio for the show.
that could be a very. Let me see. I was getting this thing working here. So you plug it in. So what you do, you blow into it. So you got. You can either read the exact content, but green, you're okay.
Okay.
Then if it's yellow, it's caution. Red, danger.
Gotcha. So.
So it's actually.
Go ahead. Why don't you do it?
Okay. See. Okay. And I got the green here.
All right.
Now it's counting. It's counting down. So I'm going to have to
until it's ready to be used.
Yeah,
right.
And I'll have to come back and blow it. But see, it's going to be a boring green because I've not even had a glass of. I haven't even had a Bloody Mary. If I would have known.
Well, okay, but wait a minute. You get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you put the show together, which involves consumption of wine.
No, actually, consumption of coffee. The wine is before I go to sleep.
Okay.
So I go to sleep at midnight and get
up at 2?
And get up at 2 o'clock. But But Jim, so there's, I'm a very deep sleeper.
Wow. You're just incredible. Will you take a nap today?
It's actually irrational. Probably not.
It's too nice. You've got drone time.
Yeah, I'm planning to go down and fly the drone down at the Cherry Blossom Festival. It should be a lot of fun.
Okay.
And now this week we are going to feature the man who is Chief Technology Officer for Amazon, the guy behind the Amazon Web Services, AWS. You probably have never heard of him. Werner Hans-Peter Vogels.
No, you're right. I haven't.
Werner Hans-Peter Vogels. Now, that's what his mother calls him.
The whole thing.
Yeah, now his friends just call him Vern. Werner Hans-Peter Vogels is the chief technology officer.
I like your pretentious German accent. It's nice.
We're also going to feature the thing that has just been in the news and freaking out everybody all week, the Heartbleed bug.
Yeah, I want to hear what you got to say about that.
The Heartbleed bug and what's been around for 2 years, and they finally figured it out. We'll talk a little bit about net neutrality. We'll try to get to these hackers that made money. Also, one of the former Apple geniuses put out a little blog, and he said, here are 8 ways to keep your battery life on your iPhone longer.
Gotcha.
I mean, because everybody's doing the wrong thing, and so I thought, since that's an issue, I thought I would feature that.
Important information. News you can use is what we would call it.
Exactly. Now, of course, it was a huge mailbag.
Giant.
Yes.
There's a letter in your mailbox.
Mr. Big Voice.
That's my key. Well, you have to drop the mailbag first. He says something.
Oh, yeah. I have to
How long have you been doing this show?
I don't know.
Blow into the little thing now.
I'm trying to get this thing. It's not lighting up for me. There's something.
I hope you didn't pay more than 59 cents for that. Piece of junk.
Yeah. There it is. Now it's lighting up. Okay, one. No, now it's counting down. Okay, here we go. We got an email from Rowdy.
Rowdy. It's going to be a long hour.
this is not howdy duty, but from Rowdy.
Rowdy.
Dear Tech Talk, I have attempted to download your radio show, which was dated April 5th, 2014, as an MP3. However, when I download the file, the file extension is ASHX, and it won't play.
Uh-huh.
I had this happen on a previous week as well. What's going on? Well, Rowdy, we're using .NET technology on the website, and all of the files are renamed ASXH. They're all renamed.
Something like that.
ASHX. However, they're actually MP3s. So if you don't want to listen to them on the website or listen to them on the podcast, but you actually download them, I mean, you see, the conversion is automatically done if you use a podcast reader or you listen to them on Apple iTunes. But if you want to actually physically download it, after you download the file, just take and rename it and change that extension to .mp3, and it'll play. That's all you have to do.
You know what? This is news I can use because I've tried to do the same thing and I've had the same problem.
You just rename it. It's an MP3 file.
Good.
So when it goes through the normal scripts to download the file, it actually does that conversion on the download. But if you just don't grab the raw file, you're going to get that particular .NET extension, ASHX. So just rename it.
You know, sometimes I have to go back and listen to everything that you said so it fully absorbs.
To fully absorb the wisdom of the moment.
Wow.
Yes, indeed. We got an email from IP Learned. I mean, maybe it should be Learned.
Are you sure?
IP Learned.
Are you sure you weren't drinking when you put this show together?
I don't know.
I mean, because I'm not.
Okay, that
blow into that thing.
Okay, listen. This is the thing at 2. Okay, at 2. Okay. Excuse me while I take a breathalyzer test. Oh, this is live radio.
This is now required Hubbard standard operating procedure before we go on the air.
Okay, we got an email from IP Learned, and that is the name that I recall at 3:30 in the morning. Dear Dr. Schertz, I have Verizon Fios IP service in my home in Bethesda. I've had it for a long time, and I'm getting about 4.2 megabits per second download and 1.99 upload speeds, megabits per second upload. Now, all my smart IT friends tell me that I'm getting way too slow, that I should get at least 20 megabits per second download. I called Verizon, and after three transfers and 50 minutes of troubleshooting, I know this thing, and running their speed tests, they basically reset their the box at their end and had me power off my box and wait 10 seconds and power and wait 10 seconds and power on my router. And then but you know, I'm really not happy with all that kind of service. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I've got to say that the bandwidth that they advertise is not guaranteed bandwidth. It's just sort of the upper limit that you could get.
This is what you could get.
You're actually on a shared, on a shared network. You know, all your neighbors are using, you know, are on the same fiber optic feed that, you know, when they get into the end of all of the trunk lines, and so you're actually sharing bandwidth with them, and so your actual bandwidth is going to change with time of day depending on when you get it. See, I'm supposed to get 50 megabits per second download speed. So I checked it this morning. I was only getting 10 megabits per second download and 4 megabits per second upload. I like to check my speed. I go to broadbandreports.com. That's what I like. Broadbandreports.com. And if I'm a little worried, I just check my download speed. Now I have to ask you though. 4.42 megabits per second download speed it should really be higher. When I went to Verizon and I had upgraded the speed of my Verizon Fios connection, and they said, okay, we'll take care of it. And then when I called in, I said, I'm not getting the speed. They went and checked the software, and they had me signed up for the wrong program.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and so they changed the program. So I would go, I'd call the, go back and make certain that you're signed up for the right program. They do throttle you down. So what they do when they reset the box at their end, it means that they are giving you a different upper limit when they were having that reset. But make certain that you're signed in to the right program. And it would be interesting to know whether your IT friends that are getting the 20 megabits per second are in your community or whether they're in another community, because it does vary by where you're located. And I do agree that Verizon service is could be better.
Yeah. Well, this is crazy because I think with all of these service providers, you really have to be careful, because you sign up for something and somewhere along the line it gets messed up and you're not getting what you're paying for a lot of times.
You're not getting what you're paying for. No, that's exactly right. So, but despite all of that, I'm still checking my.
You're still checking your breath. There are no retests in this.
I'm still blowing in my alcohol tester here.
Did it not register?
Did
you not like the result?
No, it registered, but
what did it register?
Well, it's turning off on me, and I don't know what's going on. There's just, I don't know whether I have to hold it down. Oh, maybe I have to hold it down and so, I'm going to have to read the instructions here. This
guys aren't good at that.
This is actually like, okay, here we go. Okay. I'm getting a green. So I'm going to be allowed to drive home.
The East German judge begs to differ over here.
I'm going to be able to drive home, after that IP learned.
Fly home on your
Okay, we got an
drone.
Email from loyal listener.
It can't be his real name.
My squeeze box wanted me to switch my WPA to passphrase.
What?
My WPA2 passphrase. That's the, there are different kind of encryption protocols for Wi-Fi, and the old one is WEP, and they improved it with WPA2.
Right.
Because WEP kept the same key for a long time, and you could actually just monitor the traffic, and you could eventually calculate the key and break it. So WEP is really easy to break. WPA2 rotates the key. So unless you've got a super high-speed computer, you can't calculate the key before it's rotated. So it's more secure. Mm-hmm. So that's very good. You switched your Wi-Fi from WEP to WPA2 to have more security, and that's an excellent thing to do. But now my squeeze box and my squeeze box was still working after that, Except my TED Talk stopped altogether because of an error message. And now all of a sudden I'm no longer able to listen to Tech Talk because it says no playlist.
What?
No
this
playlist.
Is a problem.
This is now, this is why it's a crisis and why we're covering this letter today.
I'm surprised it's not the first letter.
Yeah. So how can I get Tech Talk back? Well, she abbreviates, she's a longtime listener. She abbreviates Tech Talk as TT.
TT.
Yeah. TT. Well, I have the Logitech Squeezebox Internet Radio Model XR0001. Thanks, loyal listener. Well, the bad news, loyal listener, is that Logitech has discontinued the Squeezebox in 2012.
Great.
So they discontinued it. The Squeezebox ecosystem also included software. And you download the software from mysqueezebox.com. That was a server. And all your access to streaming services like Rhapsody, Spotify, Pandora, and Internet Radio are on that server, mysqueezebox.com. I went to mysqueezebox.com, and it's still up. When they discontinued the service a couple of years ago, they didn't really guarantee that they would maintain that service for more than a couple of years, and we're getting close to the two-year point, but it's still up and running. I also went to the, but there's no guarantee how long they're going to keep it up and running, and they're trying to have everybody upgrade to the new version of their internet radio, which is like $239 if you look at the website.
I'm looking at it now, yeah.
Now you could, I've looked at people that have had trouble, and you can reboot your Squeezebox to... You can go back to factory defaults, reboot it. Sometimes you can reboot your router. And then make certain that your Wi-Fi connection is working properly. Now the good thing is there is I've checked the discussion boards, and they've said despite the fact that Logitech discontinued Squeezebox that the service support line is excellent and people are getting excellent support from that. So I've got the email address here, which is squeezebox.com/support, and or the phone number, the toll-free phone number is 877-877-8889. And from what I can tell, I didn't call them, but people were quite happy with the kind of support they're getting from Logitech. So obviously Logitech, even though they discontinued the Squeezebox, wants to keep their listeners ongoing. We got an email from a regular listener who didn't want to reveal himself. Dear Dr. Schertz, do you have any advice on how to stop this crap from arriving? I mean, he's referring to spam. I've attached a typical spam email, and this one's from Penn State Hershey Medical Center and has an unsubscribe link at the bottom. Thanks, regular listener.
Okay. What?
Let me tell you, this particular email is from a legitimate user, so I'd go to the bottom thing and I'd just unsubscribe, But in most cases, I wouldn't unsubscribe from this junk email that comes in because they'll just know that you're a good email account.
Right.
I'd adjust your spam filter to block specific domains. Now, what I've discovered is that Gmail has an excellent filter for spam because it's crowdsourced, so you could just switch and make Gmail your main account.
Gotcha.
And that would be pretty good.
Uh-huh.
The party don't start till I walk in.
Hi, folks. This is David Byrd.
Don't stop.
Well, that means we're going to stop the mailbag for a second, right? Because
yes.
David's time is precious.
It's very precious.
Wait a minute.
I was on my way to
Hang
the
on. Room. Hold it. Talk now.
I was on my way to the men's room, and when I hear reading emails, I figure the show's tanking. I better get in here.
We do that every week.
It's really?
Yeah, but see, stuff. The thing is, Jim was questioning my sobriety, so now I've got to use my alcohol tester online with my iPhone 5S. I got a new.
You got everything.
I got a
Mary
new
Ann
iPhone now
for free. She won a raffle.
You know where she got it?
It was a raffle.
Groupon.
Get out.
Okay, Dave.
Did I already miss the explanation for this?
Yeah,
did you already do that?
Yeah, I already did this.
Give me a demo. Do you breathe? What do you do?
You just plug in. There's a little hole there.
Right.
You breathe.
Yeah.
And you're sitting at the bar.
Right.
And then
really?
if you're okay, you get green. If a caution, yellow.
Yeah.
Red.
Oh.
Danger.
Nice. Where'd you buy this?
Marianne got it on Groupon.
Marianne.
But see, when they have a party now, they're going to check folks at the door before they leave.
I mean, actually, having this thing for your iPhone, do you have an iPhone 5?
Yes, I do.
Well, you are ready for this alcohol tester.
I don't drink. I don't drink, so it doesn't mean anything to me.
No, no. But you go to parties where other people drink.
Oh, so I'll have them breathe into my phone.
That's
so
just what you want, is everybody else's stinking breath all over
I'm
your phone.
I'm too Howard Hughes for that deal. Sorry. Hey, Doc, quick story. I came down here to tell you a quick story.
Yes.
I think I told Andrew over here. I'm having breakfast at Bob Evans in all places, Frederick, Maryland.
Really. It's there at Cracker Barrel.
That is
hey, you watch that talk, buddy.
That is fantastic.
Barbara Fritchie, yeah. Exactly.
Uh-huh. Right.
I'm sitting there having breakfast. The guy comes over. He says to me, now he knows I work down here.
All right.
And, he leaves me alone, but he comes over and he goes, hey, man, I'm building to the point where I think I found your audience. He comes over and he says, I heard you on 820 the other day. I go, you did? What's your name?
You're,
and give me
so
your
you're the guy.
You're the guy.
Listener number six.
No, listener number six was there.
Did you document it?
Yeah, I got it on my iPhone.
Did you get a picture for us?
I said, I want to get a picture of the show at the dock. You know? We're going to take real good care of you. Anyway, that's really all I have, man. So
listen,
that's it?
I've got 5 tech tools for pet lovers just for you.
We were ready for you.
I love that.
Okay, here we go.
Go.
We've got the fitness tracker for a dog.
Now, you got anything for poop?
No.
That's why.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't care about his fitness. I don't want to. Where's he leaving that gift?
Now, you've heard a few humans have Fitbits. Yeah. So for dogs, there's Whistle.
Yeah.
And it's a little fitness monitor to keep your dogs going.
Great.
So, you know, the thing is, you can prove that dogs have been exercised. You see, you can actually.
Doc, you know, for people who own pets, we don't care about that.
Well, you've got the kennel thing. Wait a minute. Tell
them where we care. We care about the poop. Okay.
That's right.
You can also play with your pet with your smartphone. There's a little pet cube, and they can go around. It's got sound in it. And you can play with it.
If he doesn't want people breath on his smartphone, he sure doesn't want dog breath on his smartphone.
You've got digital pet ID tags, so you can scan them and you can identify with them.
That's nice.
But here's something you may be interested in.
Here we go.
Find an awesome dog sitter near you. There's a new Airbnb site, which is called Dog Vacay.
Turn his mic off.
Dog Vacay.
Please. Oh, I'm begging you. Turn off his mic.
It's his show.
Oh, that's right.
It is
his show. He bought the time. I'm sorry, Doc.
That's right.
That's very informative.
So I can turn that over to you.
But see, the doggy exercise thing is great because because you have the dog thing going on right up there in Frederick.
Exactly.
Right next to the Barbara Fritchie.
Exactly.
Get one of those, yeah. And now you have a puppy spa.
That's nice.
Just think of what you could charge.
I like to call
that.
Mine the B&B.
But here's the thing.
Private
owners could then log in to check on how their pets are doing in terms of their fitness.
By the
remotely.
Way, do you know there's going to be a million pit bull march here in Washington?
I heard. I won't be here that day.
I won't be there with my boy Diesel.
I'm getting ready to fly the drone down at the Cherry Blossom Festival today.
You're going to do that today?
Yeah, I'm going to go down there and fly it across the basin.
You better take a last look at him.
Go by the ATM machine and get lots of cash, because I got a feeling they're going to be bailing you out. I don't think Kathy's going to be very understanding about that.
Yeah.
I talked to her about it.
Well, the thing is, the drone's going to be
out. Miss Lanier,
I was going to say, mean Chief Lanier?
Her chief. Uh-huh.
Yeah, Chief Lanier. Yeah, Chief Lanier. But, you know, I'm going to take some very nice photos. Photographs of the Washington the Washington Monument. It's going to be
be
fantastic.
What time will you be doing this so I can signal everyone?
Well, it'll be breaking news on.
Are you putting
the
your phone on there to take aerial shots?
No. I'm going to keep my phone to keep track of the aerial shots. See, I'm going to hold on to my phone.
Yeah, good thinking.
You'll need it to call Marianne to get you out of the
I'm going to keep the controller like in a plastic in a paper bag so people can't tell that I'm the one working the drone.
Oh, that's even better. That's even better. That won't look too suspicious at all.
Yeah, not at all.
Some guy standing around the paper bag doing this.
Yeah. Anything else before I need to leave?
No.
I know my one listener in Frederick.
Okay, now listen.
Can you get Dave Warner?
You know, are you worried about the new Heartbleed?
I've heard about that. How freak should we be?
Well,
pretty freak.
Yeah,
he's about to tell us.
This heart. You know, when you get this secure sock layer, the secure socket layer, that little lock box on your browser.
Don't ever say secure sock with me.
No, okay. Secure socket layer. You know when you talk to a website, right. HTTPS, and there's that little lock there.
Yeah,
that's called the There's a protocol called OpenSSL, which actually does that encryption.
Right.
And it turns out that, and of course, the idea is you want to have all your keys encrypted so people don't know what's going on. Mm. So when they wrote this open SSL, if the packet is just a little bit too short, they pad it to make it up to the minimum size, and they just pull random data out of RAM to pad it. And it turns out the random data that they pull out is where they store the encryption keys. Oh. And so that random data that they pull out is not encrypted. So somebody could sit here and observe this encrypted message, and they could actually get the keys. And once they've got the keys to the encryption code, they actually own the own the server.
You on board with this, Jimmy?
No. I'm.
And so it turns out that this has been this particular flaw was put into OpenSSL 2 years ago, and some people just discovered it a couple of weeks ago. But many suspect that that the security agencies have known about it.
Really?
And they've been using it for 2 years.
Not those guys.
Now, they have, of course, denied everything.
Of course.
So here is, I'll tell you what websites have been affected, which ones have not been affected, if you want to know the
actual...
While
you're looking up that information, Doc, is there some kind of internet worm that can keep Kim Kardashian's bikini pictures from showing up everywhere? Really, please, get dressed. Honest to God. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, that's you know, I just go to technology sites, and she never shows up there, babe.
She will. Oh, she will.
So here's the thing. So the Heartbleed has affected Facebook. It's affected Tumblr, Yahoo, Google, Dropbox, LastPass, OkCupid, which is a...
OkCupid?
It's a dating site.
You're not on that, Dave?
You're on that, Jimmy.
No.
OkCupid, it's a dating site in San Francisco. Yeah. And SoundCloud. Oh, now, the sites that are not affected, LinkedIn, Amazon.
What's that house for three-time married people? Keep your house, keep your money?
Yeah.
Is that the one? That's what I thought. All right. Sorry, go ahead.
Microsoft, Hotmail, and Outlook are not affected. AOL, PayPal, PayPal and Evernote. Actually, about a week ago, 680 sites were vulnerable. Wow. Now it's a couple days ago it was down to 178. So it's getting better. So what they want you to do, if your site was affected, they want you to wait for this patch to be implemented, and it's probably going to be implemented within a few days. Then go in and change your password.
Okay. Hey, Doc, before I leave, you need more time than you have left here.
Yes.
Next time I come down here, whenever that may be, can we talk about Facebook and why I just hate that thing so badly?
I think we could talk about it. And we'll get into all the privacy stuff.
I didn't realize what I was buying into when I got on Facebook. I'm reading stuff. Yeah, I don't want to read anymore.
It's like falling into a rabbit hole.
God, please help me. And I start unfriending people. I go, I don't want to hear this anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's one of the problems.
Awful.
Yeah. And then they give your thing, and it's just too much supervision, and I think they're glamming stuff off of my habits. I'm sure you know all this. Right?
Mm-hmm. So we can talk about the Facebook thing.
Really? Are you Facebooking still?
I have one for just like a public site for Stratford, but I don't do anything there. No, I mean, I don't do anything on it. It's just there to say, you know,
I figure if you don't have my phone number, I don't need to talk to you on Facebook.
Exactly.
No,
really.
No.
And I don't know who you are. Who are you?
So the only thing that Facebook was useful for, I was going back to a high school reunion, and it was amazing that I was able to actually connect with about half the class in just a few days.
That's nice. That's nice.
Of course, you know, I never talked to these. I haven't talked to them for 50 years.
Wow.
But, or 40
you got
years.
You catching up to do.
I don't know. Maybe 40 years. I don't know what the date is, you know. And so,
you mean your high school girlfriend could be on Facebook?
Yeah. She could be there.
Yeah.
Okay, Doc, I think it's time for me to leave now.
Probably so.
Okay,
it's been
fun. We'll talk about Facebook privacy next time you come
down. Yeah, we really do, because I'm freaked out by it, and I don't even want to get in their Facebook. You know, what I've found is I see the stuff that people post, and I start getting snarky, and I want to, and I go, stop.
I don't care that you had breakfasted.
I don't want to be snarky, so to keep from being snarky, I'll just unfriend them because I just don't want to snark.
I don't even go on.
I'm not going there anymore.
And I'm going to do a little research on dog poop technology. I'll see if I can find
something. You do that, Doc. You'll be my personal.
I'm going to see if I can.
So to speak. Did I just say that?
I think you did. Anyway, bye, bye, Doc. It's been fun.
Hey, bye, bye, David. Thanks. We got a little look behind the scenes. So, Doc, I think we should take a break here.
Okay.
Let's do that. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. This is 1500 AM, 107.7 FM HD2. And for that guy in Frederick, we're on 820 AM up in Frederick, Maryland. TechTalkOnline.com and FederalNewsRadio.com. More of the show coming up right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Change your life. Put your talents out there on your terms. Get full credit for your ideas and hard work, and set your own pay. If you're ready to be your own CEO, Stratford University's life-changing Master's in Entrepreneurial Management program can show you how to develop and launch your business. From writing a solid business plan to financing, legal issues, staffing, even branding and marketing. Let Stratford show you the ropes and walk you over the pitfalls of running your own business. Choose from online or in-classroom courses at our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Change your life. Take charge of your future on your own terms. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0804. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University. Changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And now it is time for...
Profiles in IT.
Yes, today we're going to feature Werner Hans-Peter Vogels.
You just like saying that.
I do. Werner Hans-Peter Vogels is the Chief Technology Officer of Amazon. He's also Vice President of Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
He was born October 3rd, 1958 in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. From 1991 through 1994, he was a senior researcher at INESC in Porto, Portugal, and they worked on grid technology, digital grid technology. From 1994 to 2004, Dr. Vogels was a research scientist at the Computer Sciences Department of Cornell University. And while he was there, he was still working on his PhD from his school in Amsterdam. From 1999 to 2002, he was also vice president and chief technology officer of Reliable Network Solutions. In 2003, Dr. Vogels finally received his PhD in computer science from Vrije University in Amsterdam.
You did that very nicely.
Well, thank you. His dissertation topic, Scalable Cluster Technologies for Mission-Critical Enterprise Computing.
Okay.
His doctoral advisors were Henry Ball and Andy Tannenbaum. Andy Tannenbaum has written a lot of textbooks.
You've talked about him here.
He's a famous guy, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's the author of many conference and journal articles, mainly on distributed systems and technologies for enterprise computing systems. So what is interesting about Werner is that he was this academic, and he moved very, very adroitly into the high-tech business world.
That doesn't happen often, does it?
He made a transformation. He made a transition. He was named Chief Technology Officer. Well, he was hired by Amazon in 2004 as Director of Systems Research. This was just when they were formulating their cloud strategy. And in January of 2005, which was only a few months later, he was named Chief Technology Officer. Then he was elevated to Vice President in March of 2005. Now, Amazon Web Services actually began in 2006, a couple of years after he started. And it was designed as a tool to sell excess cloud infrastructure capacity to developers. Now, the company doesn't really break out Amazon Web Services revenue, but they're estimated to be more than about 500,000 Amazon Web Service customers, and they're actually estimating that their revenue could be $4 billion. I mean, it's actually a pretty hefty business. Vogels maintains a blog which focuses on building – scalable and robust distributed systems. He started that blog in 2001 while he's still a scientist at Cornell. Now, mainly it was discussed his research results, and I think that blog was instrumental in getting him hired, because he's talking about topics that were very, very important to Amazon. After he joined Amazon, his blog changed a little bit to be more product-oriented and around Amazon, not giving so many secrets. And the I'll give the link to that blog. It is I'm having trouble reading.
Allthingsdistributed.com.
Allthingsdistributed.com. Yes, allthingsdistributed.com is his blog, and that has links also to other. He actually has a personal blog, but this is his technical blog, and he's actually quite unlike many academia, many of those in academia. He's actually quite extroverted. He goes out, talks to companies. He's really an evangelist for the cloud, for the whole cloud technology. He described the deep technical nature of Amazon's infrastructure in a paper about Amazon's Dynamo, the storage engine for the Amazon shopping cart. He's generally regarded as the world's top expert on ultra-scalable systems, and he uses his weblog to educate the community about issues such as eventual consistency, which is trying to keep all the data coordinated. During 2008, it became evident that Vogels was one of the chief architects behind Amazon's approach to cloud computing. During that year, Vogels was continuously on the road promoting cloud computing, and Amazon Web Services benefits to the industry. Now, what's interesting, Information Week in 2008 recognized Vogels as Chief Information Officer, Chief Technology Officer of the Year. This was actually a huge, big deal then.
Yeah.
And Information Week hailed him as the right man who showed up at exactly the right time to fit a need. Vogels is married to Annette Vogels, a former musician in the Netherlands Philharmonic Orchestra. They have two daughters. And, of course, his blog link is allthingsdistributed.com.
Mm-hmm.
Werner Hans-Peter Vogels, the chief technology officer behind the Amazon Cloud Services. It's a great story about how research and academia can transfer to industry so cleanly.
This Amazon Dynamo, the storage engine for shopping cart. This is something that those of us who would shop on
everybody
Amazon.
Everybody uses we use it. So what Amazon did, they built this tremendous infrastructure to support their own scaling business, and they said, you know, we got extra capacity. So they developed a way to outsource the cloud service, so other developers and other businesses could actually use it. Say, for instance, Waze used Amazon Cloud Services when they were in Israel. Now that I think that Google bought them, they're going to switch to Google Cloud Services. But they were on Amazon. So a lot of companies have found that it's cheaper to use the Amazon Cloud Services for their infrastructure instead of building their own.
Yeah.
And since they launched Amazon Cloud Services in 2006, they've cut the price for those services 46 times.
Wow.
So as they scale, they keep cutting the prices. So it reaches a point where you can't really do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just economy of scale. It's a great technology. IBM's in the cloud business. Google's in the cloud business. Apple's in the cloud business. And Amazon has made it a big part of their business.
Interesting story. And I hope you were paying attention to that story, because coming up in just a minute, we're going to ask you a question and we'll have a nice prize too. That'll be the pop quiz coming up here on Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM HD2, on the web at techtalkonline.com and Federal NewsRadio.com. Stand by. Be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
What's the latest innovation in IT degrees? It's the Stratford University innovative approach that turns marketable skills into an employable edge to get you hired faster in today's hottest fields like cybersecurity, data mining, and mobile networking. At Stratford, our IT instructors bring their own business world experience right into the classroom with real-world problem-solving projects structured like a real business, empowering you with real hands-on skills so you can hit the ground running doing exactly what you learn in the classroom, right in the workplace. It's all part of our proven learn-by-doing approach to IT. Every class, every degree, every day. We offer bachelor's, master's, and associate degree programs at our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0804. Stratford University. Changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
And now it's time for Washington's most popular and longest running radio game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now here's your host and star of our show. No, it's not Gene Rayburn. It's not Alex Trebek. It's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
You thought this was a radio show.
I'm not fighting you
actually,
on this anymore.
It is a classroom of the airwaves.
Right.
Now, earlier in this show, we were talking about Werner Hans Peter Vogel, the chief technology officer at Amazon.
That should be the answer to the quiz right there.
And I'm going to ask you a question about Werner. And if you get the right answer to that pop quiz, you'll win two tickets to fine dining at the Escoffier Dining Room or the Karim Dining Room at Woodbridge. So the and then, of course, you can call in and give us the answer.
Right.
So Werner Hans Peter Vogels, I like to give his full name as his mother did, chief technology officer at Amazon, gave a recent paper. And he talked about the Amazon infrastructure, which is behind the Amazon shopping cart. What is the name of that infrastructure?
It's a powerful name.
It's a powerful name. Well, that'll
be your clue.
It is a powerful name.
If you know the answer to that, you need to call us right now. And the number to call if you're calling from west of Amsterdam, the Netherlands, 877-936-9333. From east of Porto, Portugal, 877-936-9333. Everybody else on the planet can call us on 877-936-933. Of course, if you don't have a phone,
yes,
there's
you,
another way.
You can always, if you are actually out in the country, you know, using your breathalyzer and there's no phone nearby,
right.
You can use Skype and you can simply reach us using by contacting to Tech Talk Radio 1 and your call will be forwarded directly to the studio.
Okay, so we're waiting for calls now. And Doc, yeah.
Why don't we just talk about the Netflix dilemma?
Yes.
See, Netflix, I've recently started using Netflix, and I kind of like it, you know.
Yeah, because, it's great.
So I've cut back to my, you know, the entertainment package on Verizon to the minimum. And then I've got all this movie selection on Netflix. So I don't mind watching movies that are 3 years old. It's fine. But since I've not watched that many movies over the years, I got plenty of movies to watch. I'm not really running out. Now here's the problem: the Netflix is actually streaming media, so they are basically sending all of these movies through streaming media to the to the user, and all the internet service providers are carrying that streaming media. Now the service providers are saying, "Look, we're not getting paid for this, for this delivery, and we, you know, we want to charge Netflix something if we're going to carry it. Just like if they were delivering DVDs to your house, Netflix would have to pay the postage. So why shouldn't they have to pay the internet postage, so
right.
to speak, to cover the bandwidth?" Well, there's something called net neutrality, and the philosophy is that internet service providers cannot throttle or be biased against one site or another. So they believe that with net neutrality, that all the carriers should actually handle this properly, they've asked the FCC to look at this because what apparently internet service providers are doing is in these peering arrangements where they've got where networks peer together. If they're getting a lot of Netflix traffic from a particular network that they're peered to, they just don't upgrade that connection. So they're not really blocking the unit. They're just not upgrading the technology. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, look, you know, we don't get any money. We don't care whether whether it's upgraded. And so you've got these peering delays. And I will periodically get a peering delay with Netflix. It'll come up and the movie won't come. It'll be a big delay. And then I might come back in 10 minutes. It happens occasionally during peak times. And so Netflix went to FCC and they asked that this be reviewed. And a couple of weeks ago, FCC said that they are not going to include the Netflix request in their net neutrality rules, and they are not going to, you know, then ensure that carriers are going to have to carry Netflix free of charge. Now, Netflix has already agreed to pay Comcast a certain amount to carry their stuff, and so now probably Verizon is going to get a little cut, and all the carriers will end up getting a cut on this thing as they go forward. So Netflix was a little bit disappointed with the FCC rejection of their request.
Okay. I think we have somebody to talk to on the phone. Let us go to Tim calling from Vienna, Virginia. He is on line one. Good morning, Tim. How are you, sir?
This is Jim in Vienna.
Oh, Jim in Vienna. I'm sorry.
Good morning,
my
Jim.
My eyes have failed me.
Yeah. Early in the show, we talked about Werner Hans-Peter Vogels, chief CTO of Amazon, and he wrote a paper about Amazon's infrastructure. What is the name of the infrastructure behind the Amazon shopping cart?
It's the Dynamo Engine.
That is correct. Correct. You win two tickets to fine dining at the Escoffier Dining Room or the Karim Dining Room. Just stay on the line, and we'll get back to you in just a few minutes.
Jim, sorry for butchering your name, especially since it's the same as mine. So hang on the phone, and we'll let you talk to Andrew Mitchell, our adjunct professor for prize distribution and crowd control here on Tech Talk Radio. This is indeed Tech Talk Radio, and you're listening to us on this and every Saturday morning on 1500 AM, 820 AM, and 107.7 FM HD2. We'll have more right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Change your life. Put your talents out there on your terms. Get full credit for your ideas and hard work, and set your own pay. If you're ready to be your own CEO, Stratford University's life-changing Master's in Entrepreneurial Management program can show you how to develop and launch your business. From writing a solid business plan to financing, legal issues, staffing, even branding and marketing. Let Stratford show you the ropes and walk you over the pitfalls of running your own business. Choose from online or in-classroom courses at our convenient campus locations in Tysons Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Change your life. Take charge of your future on your own terms. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0804. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University. Changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And the iPhone battery is a big problem.
It is. It's a huge
battery
problem.
Life is a big problem. Mm-hmm. And a former Apple Genius Bar worker, Scotty Lovelace, offered a few tips because he'd been working with people that had battery problems. And battery life has been a problem, especially since the launch of the new operating system 7.1, mm-hmm. as well as 7.0. And most of the time, at least as far as Apple is concerned, it's not caused by the iPhone's software. It's caused by the applications that run on it. And so the first thing that Scotty recommends is that you check your usage and standby times. It gives you kind of a quick idea of what's going on. So you can simply go to settings, and then you go to and then you go to general, and then you go to usage, and you'll have something called usage and standby times, and your standby time should be much longer than your usage. And if it's not, if your standby time is not much longer than the usage, it means that you are probably using a lot of energy even when your phone is not in use.
So which one should be longer?
The standby time should be much longer
than
that.
Okay, yes.
And so you can test it out. And so what you can do is you can look at what your usage and standby times are, and then you can put your device to sleep by pushing the button, wait 5 minutes, and come back. And your standby time should increase by 5 minutes and your usage by less than a minute. But if your usage is really increased, has increased a lot more than a minute, it means something's keeping your device from sleeping properly.
Uh-huh.
So the first thing you want to do is disable location and background application refresh. Background application refresh was added with the operating system 7, and then it's also in 7.1. And it turns out that the application that really eats a lot of power is your Facebook app. It's always going back and getting updates. So the first thing that he does, he disables the Facebook app, background app refresh, and location. So it's not always checking GPS and not always updating with the latest stuff. And that is very helpful. If you still have battery life problems, you can go in and you can go to background refresh. And how to get to the background refresh area, you go to settings and then you go to general.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to general, and then when you're in general, you'll see something called background app refresh, and I went through and just turned off all the ones except the, you know, I like Waze to be updated in the background.
That's, sure.
So I turned them all off except Waze, actually. And so now that actually saves a lot of power, and I also disabled GPS because GPS uses a lot of power. I disabled GPS connection for all the apps that I just don't care if they've got GPS. I don't need them to do that.
Interesting. I'm doing this right now as we speak.
So because if an app is sitting in that bar, you know, when you try to turn off all your apps, you can double click the button. You've got that bar of all the apps that are loaded. They're not going to use any energy if you don't have that refresh going on. So a lot of people will close all the apps. They'll close them all, and then they'll open them as they need them. And Scotty says that could actually take more power because it takes a lot of energy to reload it because you're loading up RAM again. So you're better off just turning off the background refresh. Now another thing that actually causes a lot of problem is email, because email's constantly coming in. So you can turn off push email, which means, you know, every time you got an email, it pushes it to you, which means you're always like, you know, emails are always popping. So you can turn off push email, and then you can you can also turn off push applications for all the applications that you don't care about. Because, you know, you get these push applications, it turns on your screen for like 5 or 10 seconds. That eats a lot of power. So you can turn off push applications for all of the all the devices. You can actually go down to privacy, and you can see where the privacy area where that comes up. So you can turn off all the push applications for that, and then on your email, you turn off the push application for your email, and then you just have it check for email periodically. And so what you can do is it's called fetch emails.
Yes.
And you just say, well, why don't you fetch email every hour? So then you don't get pushes, and every hour just checks your email. And
look at that. Mine is off. I'm lucky.
So you can automatically, you can always manually get your email.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing that he said that works, if you're in an area that's got very low cell power, it turns out if the cell signal is extremely low, your phone sends more power to your antenna in order to connect.
No kidding.
And so if you're in really weak cell connection, you use battery power a lot.
No kidding.
So he recommends just turn on the airplane mode.
All the time?
No, just whenever it's like
in a low cell,
and just turn it back on when you have to make a phone call.
Huh.
And if none of that works, and these are all really great suggestions,
yeah,
so I thought I'd cover it. Then you can go to the Apple Store, and they have what they call an extended battery life test, and it allows them to give you a detailed report on battery usage of your device.
Wow.
And they can tell you exactly with the shut off.
I just did all of this on my iPhone. So this also will work on your iPad too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that will work on the iPad.
I'm going to do that later.
So that thing is because battery life on these iPhones is
it's
really a drag.
So to speak.
So let's talk about the world's richest ex-hackers. I had been wanting to get to that for a while.
Yeah.
And we pushed it off a couple of weeks because we just had so much
busy.
Material.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you've heard of Jan Koum. You know, we had featured him a couple of weeks ago as on Profiles in IT, and he was he reached the 202nd richest person on the planet.
Wow.
Jan Koum, after he sold WhatsApp. I think he was the guy who sold WhatsApp to to Facebook. But before he got so rich, he was just a war dialer. He was just a curious kid that did war dialing. This is where you basically try to locate a landline, a logon connection and log on and get into a computer, and you just dial until you find a modem. So he was a war dialer trying to hack into systems, but his net worth is now $6.8 billion, but he really came out of this whole culture of hacking. He was a war dialer in the beginning, and he would dial modems to find an open connection. He'd probe the Internet Explorer, faraway networks to try to get in, because sometimes these modems are not even network protected. Now, the Internet was so insecure then that you could hack into systems fairly easily, and this is where people were getting their chops on programming. There weren't any manuals, and so these hackers it was just a challenge to sort of get into the Internet. They weren't trying to do anything malicious, so he was one of these hackers. In fact, the founders of Apple, Facebook, and Twitter all hacked before founding their companies. There's kind of a tradition in that. In the late 60s, teenage Bill Gates and Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen were caught with unauthorized access administrative account to the Computer Center Corporation, and they even rummaged through dumpsters for printouts of source code, according to Allen's memoir. In 2004, Zuckerberg, who's the founder of Facebook, used the login records on the Facebook.com to break into the email accounts of the Harvard Crimson reporters, who were actually trying to get the dirt on Facebook. Twitter co-founder Jack Dorsey got his first day job by breaking into the network of a dispatch company he hoped would hire him to show the company of his security vulnerabilities. I mean, that's a risky way to do it. That's a risky way to do it. Jack Koum, Hacking Adventures, he's the co-founder of WhatsApp, played a similar role in the unlikely rise from welfare. He was on welfare. His mother was on welfare. To a top spot on the billionaires list this month. And he was a noted member of the 1990 hackers group WooWoo, W-0-0-W-0-0, WooWoo, which also included the Napster co-founder, Sean Fanning. Koum was a vital contributor to the developer of Nmap Security Scanner, which actually scans open ports, a tool used today by both hackers and defenders for networks to discover vulnerabilities. So I've used Nmap. So all these guys were hackers in the beginning, and they ended up, getting their programming chops and moving on. It's kind of a grand tradition out there in Silicon Valley. Listen, we just almost out of time. We'd love for you to send us emails. Email us at techtalk@stratford.edu. Make certain to check out the Stratford website, stratford.edu, to check out the website, and let them know that you heard about Stratford on Tech Talk Radio. And also, you could get us on our podcast either by going to techtalkradio.com or to Apple iTunes and looking for Tech Talk Radio.
Hey, if you tuned in later, we'd like to hear the show again. It will replay in its entirety at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. See you next week.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.